Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, that you just give direction to our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just show us spiritual truths, Lord. Lord, help us to set aside all of the traditions, the philosophies, the ideas, the ways of man, and to hear from you tonight. I ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about the right way. You know, it's the beginning of a year, and I really think that it's important to refocus on the things that are important. It's important to refocus on the things that are important. Did y'all get that? But listen, it's so important that we start out a year right. Now, you know, there's not really anything special about a certain day or time. The thing that's great about a new year is it just reminds us of the opportunity we have to do that again, to start out fresh and new and to set goals and to head a certain direction in our life. And I just think it's a great opportunity. And so I want to encourage you to do that. But in setting goals, and by the way, I think it's really important to have goals. I think it's biblical to have vision and to have direction for your life. And, you know, the Apostle Paul was somebody who was very driven. He was always pursuing after his goal. He said, I press toward the mark. And I think it's very important that we have goals. But we need to understand this, though, church. We live in a goal-oriented society in many ways. It's part of the American way is that we're very competitive. And anybody hearing what I'm saying? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just kind of like, yeah, feeling a little like I'm just out there. Okay, yeah, you're there. Okay. But I just, you know, and we live in this society where, you know, we talk a lot about goals and how important that is. And obviously there are people out there with no goals. And there are lots of people not going anywhere in life. But I also want you to understand that we can become so goal-oriented that we really miss it. We miss the bigger things. I want you to understand, you can achieve your goals and miss the most important things. See, what could be more important than achieving your goals? Well, I suppose it depends a little bit on exactly what your goals are, but I'm pretty safe to say this, that what's more important than your goals is the way you live. I mean, you can have all the goals you want to about big things that you want to accomplish and even things you want to accomplish for God. See, that sounds really good, right? Well, I want to do this for God. I want to do this for God. But I'm just telling you that what's even more important than that is the way that we live day by day. And sometimes we just kind of lose sight of what's really, really important. And I'm just telling you, what's more important than all that other goal setting, all that, is the way you live. I remember one time when I was really praying, just felt some unrest in my spirit, and I was praying for direction. Just asking God, Lord, you know, what direction? I want direction in my life. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And, you know, what do you want me to pursue? And I just felt very strongly that the Lord impressed on my heart that my pursuit was to be Him, that He was to be the direction that I go after. And, you know, for me, that was an abrupt realization that what was more important than me having direction in my life, you know, well, do I go here and do this or do I go here and do this, was coming back to this reality that I need to pursue after Him first and foremost. And I want you to understand that in the same way, when it comes to our life and what's really important, it's not just what we do. And I'm a preacher that preaches a lot about what you do is important, okay? But it's not just about what we do. It's the way that we do things. And I just want you to understand that this is something that comes throughout the Bible and through all the ministry teaching of Jesus and the Apostle Paul, is that the way that we do things is very important. The way that we live is very important. And you know that in most things in life, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And I just want to encourage you tonight, we got to choose God's way. It's always the right way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." The way that you choose is important. Now, you know, when we read that here in this passage, the first thing, of course, we think of is the direction that you choose. And I want you to know it's important what direction you choose, that you choose to serve the Lord, that you choose to go God's way, that you choose to go the right way, because it certainly is going to determine your eternity. But I also want you to understand that it's more than just choosing God's way and ending in the right place in eternity. We choose God's way every day in many different things. We choose God's way in the way we live. And it will either bring life if we choose His way, or it'll bring trouble. It'll bring destruction if we choose the broad way, man's way. And I want you to get this. In almost everything, there's a right way to do something, and God's way is always the right way. Sometimes there's a way that seems like it would be easier. You know, God's way is not always the easiest way. In fact, that's evidenced right here in these two verses where Jesus says that it's hard to go that narrow way. But in the end, it always turns out better doing it God's way. You know, there's a lot of skills and trades that are difficult to learn just by trial and error. I've done a lot of that. I learned how to do a lot of things the hard way. And some of them I still don't know how to do very well because I learned to do them the wrong way. I remember one time when I took piano lessons. No, I don't play the piano. But I took piano lessons, and they told me how important it was, these little dumb things like how you hold your hand, how you hold your fingers, because if you learn the wrong way, then it becomes difficult for you ever to relearn and learn to play the right way. I'm just telling you that when you learn the right way in a lot of areas of life, it's just better, and it is easier in the long run. It might be easier at first to do it the wrong way, but most things in life, when you learn to do it the right way, it just turns out more profitable and more successful. And I want you to understand that the way you do things is very important as a Christian, as a child of God. Psalms 18 and 30 says, "As for God, His way is perfect." I like that. His way is perfect. His way refers to the way He does things. We need to know this. His way is always the right way. So we need to seek to learn His way. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Have you ever tried to talk to somebody who was going the wrong way? They were doing something the wrong way, and you're trying to tell them, you're trying to help them, and they just won't listen. And it's one of the most frustrating things as a pastor is sometimes you try to help people, you try to tell them something, and sometimes they even ask you for help, and you try to tell them, and yet they just go right on going the wrong way. And you just wonder, how can somebody be so determined to be dumb? Right? I mean, you just, how, you know, You're telling them, and a lot of times when you have an objective viewpoint, or maybe you know because you've been through, you made the wrong choice yourself at one time, or you went the wrong way yourself one time, but you're trying to tell them and they just won't listen. And you know what? That's exactly what this proverb is talking about. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Now think about this. Have you ever been the fool? Have you ever been the one that was going the wrong way and you were sure you were right? Now, here's the scary thought. Could it happen again? I'm telling you, we need to learn His ways so that we follow after that path that leads to life, to blessing. Amen. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." Oh, it seems right. And you know what? If you listen to the counsel of the world, if you listen to the philosophies, the ideas, the teachings of the world, a lot of the time it sounds right. I mean, they'll twist it around. They'll illustrate it. They'll give you examples. They'll pretty it all up. They'll make it sound really, really good. There's a way that seems right, but the end is destruction. See, we've all been there. We've all had times where we went the wrong way. We did things the wrong way. We messed things up. But you know, when the Bible is speaking of way, God's way, it's not talking about a direction, really, but it's talking about the way that He does things. The word literally means path, but it's more often it's referring to the not just the course of life you take, but it's referring to how you do things, how God does things. That's His ways, and how we do things, that's our way. We got to be careful that we choose to go His way. His way is always the right way. You know, I said that a lot of times on the outset, a lot that the right way is not always the easy way, but in the end, it's the way of the transgressor that's hard. Now, in the New King James, it says the way of the unfaithful is hard. The King James says the way of the transgressor. But the bottom line is that when you don't do things God's way, in the end, it's going to turn out hard. It's going to be a tough road to hoe, right? Sometimes it looks easy, but it always turns out bad. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 gives us some clear insight about God's ways. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." Now think about this. He gives us these two things together here for a reason. It's not an accident. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, His ways are not our ways. That doesn't mean that you can't learn His ways. He's speaking here when He says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." He's talking about those who have chosen to go the wrong way. In fact, if you back up just one verse to verse 7, the previous verse, He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." And here's the point, is that if we really turn to God, we can learn His ways. We can learn to think His thoughts. And the two go hand in hand. You see, if you want to learn God's ways, you need to learn to think more like He thinks. That doesn't mean that you're not going to understand everything that the Almighty... Listen, He's omniscient, and you're never going to be, this side of heaven anyway. Amen? He knows everything. But we need to understand this. If we get our thoughts in line with His Word, the more that we learn to think like Him, the more that we'll act like Him, the more that we'll be able to live the way He wants us to. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, if we don't get God's way, we can get ourselves in the worst kind of situation. So I want to give you a few things that I see in the Word of God about God's way. God's way is to give. The world says, take. But God's way is always to give. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you know, I think it's an amazing thing that God doesn't just tell us to give, but He modeled it for us. He showed us. This is His way. This is how He is. His way is the humble way. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 23:11, He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. The world's way is always to exalt yourself. The world's way is always to exercise that authority over others. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus modeled for us humility when He washed the feet of the disciples. Matthew 23:12, the next verse, He says, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But Jesus modeled that for us, not only in washing the feet of the disciples, but the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Now it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The NIV says, let this attitude be in you. This needs to be our mindset. And then he goes on to tell us how that Jesus, even though he was in the form of God, he didn't hang on to that. You see, he didn't grasp that, but he let go of it and he became a man, humbled himself as a servant. Amazing thing. I'm just telling you, this is God's way, is to be humble. Well, church, how we need to learn this, that in our life, we're pursuing after our goals and we want to achieve this, we want to do this, we want to do that. We say, oh, and it's to the glory of God, but I'm telling you, what's more important than even reaching your goal is that you learn His ways. And this is His way, to humble yourself, to let God exalt you, but you humble yourself. That's His way. Man's way is always to be self-promoting, seeking his own. But God's way is to lift others up. His way is always the way of faith. What an amazing truth from the Word of God. See, man's way is always to see it. I believe it when I see it. That's man's way. But God's way is always the way of faith. You see, the way He does things, it always requires faith because it doesn't make sense in the natural. He's a faith God. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. See, we got to get to the place where we trust God so much that we're not even relying on our understanding. Now, I have to tell you, I know few Christians that operate that way. But that's the way it's supposed to be, that we trust God so much that we don't have to understand it. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Listen, to acknowledge Him, you know, that doesn't mean, well, you just add Jesus to whatever you do, that you're acknowledging the Lord by, you know, I'm going to get this guy in Jesus' name. No, instead, when we acknowledge Him, it means that we yield to Him in everything that we do. That we don't just do it our way, but we do it His way. I want you to understand that this passage certainly means that when it says that He'll direct your paths, it certainly means that He'll help you make the right decision. He'll help you to choose the right path and make the right choice. And yes, He'll direct your paths. But I also want you to understand that He will direct you in how to conduct yourself. There's a right way. I mean, just put it this way. A year or so ago, we got ready to sell a house. And we just, you know, we prayed. We felt like we got direction from the Lord and how to do that. And we put it on the market. And most of you kind of know this story, but we didn't list it with a realtor. We just felt like, and I'm not against that by any means. I want you to understand. I think, but this is, what I'm saying is we felt like the Lord directed us to do it this certain way. And we put it on the market. And within 2 weeks, we had three people that wanted it. One man made me an offer, and I accepted it, and we shook hands. And it was actually his employer who was going to be buying the house, who I never even have met to this day. But I shook this man's hand in an agreement that his boss was going to buy the house for this certain price. Well, then I had another couple that wanted it. And they said, well, we'll sign a contract right now. But I had shaken this other man's hand. Now, the world would have said, well, hey, get a contract. Until you got a signed contract, it doesn't mean nothing. But I just felt like it was wrong. And I'm just telling you, well, the end of the story is that handshake was made good on both ends. They bought the house, and it all worked out the way it was supposed to. But I just want you to understand, there's a right way. It's not just about accomplishing our goals. It's not just about, you know, we get direction, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. How you get there is more important than the fact that you got there. I'm just telling you, God is more concerned with the way that we live. Listen, the way we treat other people than whether or not we achieve success, or we achieve this goal or this accomplishment. Got any scripture for that? Well, yeah, I do. Proverbs 16:8 says, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. There's a lot of scripture like that. But you know, I found that when we do things God's way, He blesses us. He takes care of us. I actually am kind of goofy this way. I actually believe that if I would have not made good on my handshake, that I would have ended up not selling the house like we expected to. But God blesses us when we do things the right way. And you know, doing things by faith many times is not easy, but it's the right way. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And the reason I'm talking a lot about this is because in almost every situation and circumstance, when you go to do things the right way, God's way, same thing, right? The right way is God's way. When you do things God's way, the natural mind many times is going to be saying, oh, but you ought to do it this way. And that's why you see in almost every circumstance, when you do things God's way, there's going to be some faith involved. Whether it's giving, humbling yourself, treating people with love, treating people with forgiveness. See, part of the Christian life is about following Jesus. It's learning to do things His way. That's what discipleship is all about. Listen, discipleship is about this. You learn Jesus' way of life. That's discipleship. That's what disciples were. They were students of a teacher's way of life. They were learning His way of life. Not just learning information, they were learning to live a certain way. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, learning to live Jesus' way, to be one of His disciples. That's why Jesus says, John 13:35, He says, by this all will know that you are My disciples if you love one another. Why? Why does He identify that as the evidence or the proof that other people will know that we're His disciples? Because that was His way. That was Jesus' way, was He loved people. And that should be our way, church. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it gives all of the gifts of the Spirit. And then in the very last verse of that chapter, Paul says, but now I will show you a more excellent way. And he spends the whole 13th chapter talking about love. In fact, in the first three verses of that chapter, he mentions quite a few. He mentions several great spiritual gifts, gifts of prophecy or tongues or gifts of knowledge and faith that can move all mountains. How many of you would like to have that? Wow, that's awesome. Faith that can move all mountains. But here's what's more important than all that. It's the way you do it. Because it doesn't matter how great your gifts. Doesn't matter if you have faith that can move all mountains. Doesn't matter if you sacrifice your body to the flames. You leave the love out, it's worthless. It's nothing. That's why I'm telling you, church, the way we do things is so important. We got to learn His ways. And here's the first thing we need to remember about His ways. It's love. That's His way. Matthew 5:44 and 45, Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Boy, none of this is the world's way, is it? Bless those who curse you? Oh, man, when somebody's saying something bad about me, I'm supposed to say something good about them? That's crazy. That's God's way. Do good to those who hate you. Boy, it's just backwards, isn't it? You see, God's way is so often backwards from man's way. But I want you to understand this, that God's way leads to life. It leads to blessing. Man's way will bind you up. You just take this one principle alone. You learn to do good to those who hate you, you'll find freedom. But if you repay evil for evil like the world does, you'll find yourself tied up in knots. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust. Man's way is to repay evil for evil, or at least just to stay away from them, cut them off. But God's way is to do good to them. And when we do that, we're children of our Father. We're partakers of His divine nature. We need to learn to do things His way. You know, a few years ago, that phrase, what would Jesus do, was so popular that it almost kind of lost significance. I mean, it really is a powerful thought. And it was from a book, In His Steps. But that thought of asking yourself the question in this situation or dealing with this person, what would Jesus do? And then to try to model after Him and do what Jesus would do. And, you know, like I said, it kind of became just such a thrown around phrase where, you know, people that weren't even Christians were wearing little bracelets that said WWJD on it. And they had no intention of living like Jesus or acting like Jesus, but it was just kind of the cool thing there for a while. But nonetheless, I think it's such a powerful thing. If we asked ourselves, what would Jesus do? I mean, if we really are His disciples, then we want to do the way He would in every situation. See, what would Jesus do when that cheater gets over in the wrong lane and then tries to cut over? I wonder if Jesus, you didn't ever have to drive a car. I just want to have a conversation with the Lord about this one time, don't you? You never drove in DFW, let me tell you. What would Jesus do when the cashier just can't get it right? He was merciful. Mercy doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. This is His way. He doesn't treat people the way they deserve. Don't treat people the way they deserve. See, the world says, well, that's justice. We just treat them what they deserve. No, mercy is we don't treat them the way they deserve. And Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And I'm telling you, When we're merciful, then we're acting like our Heavenly Father. His way is to forgive. Isn't that amazing that all the debt of sin, all of our debt that we owe to God. Who took care of it? It's our debt. We're the ones that did wrong. He didn't do anything wrong, but he paid the debt. So if we're going to learn his ways, we got to learn to forgive. Now, I'm just telling you, this is a great message. I may not be doing a very good job of putting it over, but this is a great message to start out your year, to refocus on the things that are really important. Because if you live this year loving people and showing mercy to people and forgiveness to people, I'm telling you, you're going to see some great things in your life. But you can have all these big ideas and big goals and accomplish this and accomplish that. But I'm telling you, if you don't do these things, you'll still be a failure. In fact, sometimes it seems like people get so caught up in their goals and their own selfish ambition that they lay aside these very principles in order to accomplish their goals. Psalms 103, verse 7, it says, "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." Moses knew his ways. See, the children of Israel saw the acts. They saw the things that God did. But Moses knew his ways. He understood who God was and the way that God dealt with his people. And I want you to understand that we need to have that kind of relationship with God where we don't just see the acts, we just don't just see what God does, but we know his ways. We need to learn how God does things. You know, there was a difference there. There's a reason it says it that way. That he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So we need to be, as his disciples, we need to be teachable. We need to be learning his ways. And that takes an intimate relationship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And here, I've mentioned this scripture some recently, but it's so important because, listen, when you're trying to understand God's ways, you can't understand just with the natural mind. No, it takes us being sensitive to the Holy Spirit that God will show us the right way. He'll show us what we should do in a particular situation, how we should act, what he would do. Psalms 25, 8 and 9 says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." And there it is. If we're humble, if we're meek, if we're just teachable, God will teach us his way. And I think in our prayer time, in our personal devotional time, as we sit in the presence of the Lord, we need to ask God for that. We need to say, "Lord, teach me your way. Teach me to live like you, to be like you." Psalm 32:8, he says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." I'm telling you, God will just show us exactly what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to act if we'll just be sensitive to him. Here's the prayer of the psalmist. I read 25:8 and 9. Here's verse 4. He says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." And I'm just telling you, if you learn the Lord's ways, you're going to be successful in the things that are really important. Amen. See, sometimes we almost get a little bit sounding like the world in our views of success. I really believe in success and prosperity. In fact, I don't think it's preached enough. But sometimes we get a little bit skewed on what that is. Because real success, real prosperity is fulfilling all that God has for you. If you do that, you're a success. And if you don't do that, I don't care how much money you made or what else you achieved, you're a failure in life. You'll be a failure in eternity if you don't do what God wants you to do. But so much of that comes down to this. It's the way we live. It's the way we treat people. I'm going to wrap this up in a minute, but I want to make sure that I don't miss some important things. Psalms 119, verse 15. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but you wouldn't believe how many I'm skipping, by the way. This is all through the Bible. You start looking for ways in the Bible, and you'll just find it all over the place. I'm just telling you. Psalms 119, verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Now, he says, first of all, and again, these two things are together for a reason. I will meditate on your precepts. I'm going to think about the principles. I'm going to meditate on the scripture, the principles, the precepts of God. And then he says, I will contemplate your ways. Well, it's almost, he's just repeating the same thing, really. His precepts, his principles, that is his ways. And here's what I'm trying to communicate to you, that if you want to know God's ways, you need to dig into the scripture. You need to contemplate his principles, his precepts, and meditate on them over and over and over. The more that you learn to think the way he thinks, the more that you'll learn to act the way he acts. We read this earlier. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. He's our example, you see. But we got to let that same mind be in us. And one of the ways that we learn his ways is from his word. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I'm just going to tell you, it is easy to learn the world's ways. I mean, it's all around us. We see other people, even other Christians. It's on the TV. We see the world's way all around us. But the Bible says, blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the counsel or walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what I'm saying to you is, you're going to have to do what the next verse says. And that is that you delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Meditate therein day and night. That's the man that's blessed. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. But we got to learn to meditate in the Word, to see the way God is. And you see that so often, you'll see it in the Word if you'll just spend time in the Word. Now, here's another principle that we need to understand about learning His ways. Did you know that when you're around somebody, you learn their ways? Now, hopefully, if they have some bad habits, you're thinking, well, I don't want to learn that. But the truth is that a lot of the time, we learn both good and bad from the people that we are around. We learn their ways. You know, they've got some of you know that old saying, birds of a feather flock together and all that kind of stuff. And I know Jonathan tells the young people a lot of times, he tells them, if you want to see your future, look at your friends. And, you know, there's some truth in that, that a lot of the time, the people that you hang out with, they're going to have a huge influence on you. Here's a scripture that also goes along with that, Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Could that be any plainer? The righteous should choose their friends carefully. Jesus was a friend to sinners, and we need to be friends to people like Jesus was. See, Jesus didn't reject anybody, but he ministered to people. He was never the influencee. He was the influencer. And Jesus never went along with the crowd to be cool. We just need to remember that. That when we're with people who are not serving God, not living for God, yeah, we want to minister to them. We want to help them. And we want to be a friend to them. But they can't be your friend. You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference. You can be their friend. You can be there for them. You can help them. But if you put confidence in them, you're just being foolish. And if you allow them to influence you, you're just being foolish. So here's what it says one more time. The righteous should choose his friends carefully because the way of the wicked will lead them astray. Here's another one. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Lest you learn his ways. And I'm just telling you, it's very important. But here's the bigger principle I want to get at. You need to be careful about who you're friends with, all right? We settled that. But when you're friends with Jesus, the more you hang out with Jesus, the more you're going to learn his ways. The more time you spend in prayer, the more time you spend in his word, the more time you spend in worship, the more time you spend not just with Jesus himself in private personal prayer, but listen to me, the more time you spend with other spiritual believers, I'm telling you, the more you're going to learn his ways. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not in any way talking about us having a spiritual club. Listen, we need to be reaching out to people and loving people. But I'm just telling you, we need to learn his ways. And a lot of that happens by association. You spend time with the Lord, sitting at his feet, listening to him, and you learn his ways. Hang out with Jesus. You'll learn his ways. You just hang out with Jesus more than you do anybody else, you're going to be all right. Psalms 139, the last one, verses 23 and 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my anxieties, that's anxious thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. It's a good prayer. See if there's any wicked way. Lord, is there some ways in my life that need to change? The way I've been handling my money, the way I've been treating my family, the way I've been treating my neighbors, the way I treat my enemies. Are there some ways in me that need to change? Lead me in the way everlasting. We live this life the way he wants us to. Treat other people the way he wants us to. That's what's really important. I want you to stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. And I just encourage you to ask the Lord to pray that prayer with the psalmist. See if there's any way in me, wicked way, Lord, that needs to change. Lead me in the right way. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that so often you send a word, Lord, to keep us on the right path. And Father, I believe that you've done that, if for no one else, for me tonight, Lord. And I thank you for that. Lord, that in all my ways, I'll acknowledge you, Lord, that I'll do things your way in Jesus' name. Father, show us. I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to show us. Lord, lest we find ourselves once again going the wrong way, thinking we're doing right. Lord, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. We humble ourselves, Lord. We come to you and admit, Lord, we can't do it on our own. Lord Jesus, have your way in us, that we be loving and kind and merciful and forgiving and giving, that we learn your ways, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just let the Lord do a work in you. And I just believe the Lord's going to, in your personal prayer time, you just allow him to. I believe he's going to show you some things. But you know, I think this is true for any of us that are sincere believers, and I believe everybody here is, by the way. So for any of us that are sincere in our faith. There's nothing that could be a greater compliment than for people to think that we're like Jesus. So let's stay focused on what's really important, that we learn His ways. That's the right way. Don't listen to the world. His way's the right way. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. I love you. Love one another.